which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Tonight you can also call her the Nineveh of Nahum. It's the same city. Now, Nahum prophesied to an actual historical city called Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. But in Bible typology, in the eschatological application of the book of Nahum, it points to the same city of Babylon, the mother of harlots. That's where we begin to see the link. See, every book preserved in the Bible has a last day significance. And let's read on, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament time, it was true that the Assyrian Empire had actually killed and had martyred and had shed the blood of many Israelites. It is said in historical records that I read on the Assyrian Empire siege against Jerusalem, that in one of those sieges, 185,000 people died. That's a lot of people. So, the Assyrian Empire is known to be cruel, but it's so far away in history that people don't remember it that much. Today, when you think about cruel breed, a cruel empire, people think about the Mongols with Genghis Khan at the head. They were more cruel than that. The Assyrian Empire. And so they shed a lot of blood. And then the angel explained in verse 7. After in verse 6, this John was captivated by this vision. He was amazed. He marveled. The angel said in verse 7, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. So there's a spiritual influence there. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Yes. Right. What a beast. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. These are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not and is himself also the 8th is of the 7 and is going to perdition. And the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet. The first Bible interpreters who try to interpret this part have always linked them to the Roman emperors. Today they are still charismatics. I read some of their books, and there are hundreds of books out there on prophecy, and a lot of them contradict one another, because some are post, some pre, some meet, and tribulation, and some that what I mean is some are post tribulation. There is the belief that you go through tribulation, then you're raptured. Some are pre tribulation, that is you're raptured before the tribulation. Some are mid tribulation, because they believe you go halfway, then you get caught up in the middle. And then besides that, another confusion comes is that some people believe in the 1,000-year period. And they say that the 1,000-year period is ahead. We are living before that time. So they are called the premillennialists. Then there's a group that says that the 1,000 years are already behind us. And the church history is so the so-called 1,000 years, and it's getting more and more glorious till Jesus comes. So they are the post-millennialists. Then there is another group that says, oh, the 1,000 years is just spiritual, has no great significance. Just spiritual, it has no actual chronological period. They are called the amillennialists. Because while the post is arguing with the pre, they say, oh, couldn't be bothered, you know. So they are amillennialists. And so there are a lot of these books outside, and we have mentioned that each one had their arguments. And many of those evangelicals who study prophecy, evangelicals and some charismatic, believe that these kings, each one of them are Roman emperors, and they even give you the names. They say, let the revelations expound that, they give you the names. But we have only one question to ask. If the seven kings, plus the number, if the seven kings represented the Roman emperor, that Roman Caesar, then number 8 must also represent the Roman emperor, which many say is Nero. But if that is so, where are the 10 horns that should come immediately when the 8 beasts come? So you see, there's a big question mark. After studying all of them, I believe that the best view on these seven heads are this. The seven kings. The seven kings, you see, it goes gradually if you study carefully. First, it comes with that creature, the scarlet creature, right, that the woman is sitting on. Must be quite a big woman sitting on a scarlet beast. And every picture and drawing I've seen on eschatology have drawn a big chubby guy sitting on this creature. Now the creature we know represents Satan and his cohort, the spiritual world. Then it comes slowly upwards to more and more into a more streamlined interpretation. So the next batch is what I call the woman that was sitting on the scarlet beast. The beast has seven heads, ten horns. The seven heads represent seven empires. Seven empires that have dealings with the Israelites, that have oppressed or conquered Israel. The first was Egypt. The second is the Assyrian Empire, which is Nahum's time. The third is the Babylonian Empire. The fourth is the Medo-Persian Empire. The fifth is the Greek Empire. The sixth. Did I count it? Oh. Let me start again. The first is the Egyptian. Second is the Assyrian. Third is the Babylonian. Fourth is the Medo-Persian. Fifth is the Greek Empire. Sixth, representing the Roman Empire. Now, in John's time, he tells us in verse 10, five have fallen and one is. Because in John's time, he was living in the sixth empire, which was the Roman Empire. But there was one more, number seven, that has not come to pass yet. And he says, one is and the other has not yet come. The one that has not yet come is the revised Roman Empire. And the revised Roman Empire is number seven. Then in verse 11, the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth. So the beast will be the Antichrist Empire that will be linked with the revised Roman Empire. I repeat, the beast and the revised Roman Empire are related but not the same. The revised Roman Empire is number seven. The beast is number eight. But the beast does make a link with number seven. Here is where the link is made. Right. Verse 11 and 12. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. See, the eight and the seven are related. Because the Antichrist empire and the revised Roman empire are related, but not the same. Let me read again, verse 12. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet. So the ten horns has to represent something in the future. Something in the future that represents the revised Roman Empire. The ten kings may represent ten nations. It may represent ten confederations. Whichever. But it will cover the area of the Roman Empire. As we have it in history. Now there's something interesting about these ten horns in relation to the beast. Let me point to the relationship in the book of Daniel chapter 8. The book of Daniel chapter 8. Well, let's cover chapter 7 first. We need a background. In chapter 7, verse 20, you must look at the book of Daniel 7, verse 20. And it says, and about the ten horns that were on its head, and about the other horn which came out before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Now, do you notice something in verse 20? There were ten horns, and then there was another horn that came up and conquered three of the ten horns. Repeated again in chapter 7, verse 8, the actual vision. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. I was considering the horns. You see, Daniel saw a vision and he saw these beasts and with ten horns. Then he was looking at this beast with ten horns in verse 8. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, separate from the ten horns, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by its roots. Visualize it. There were ten horns coming up. Right? So, since the five here are intact, let me use my hand there. There are still five here, right? Then, as you're watching that vision, suddenly another one come. Right, let me see. No. Okay. So, what you see is in the end, because the one came out, destroyed three. You see eight. There was a time frame in that vision, even if a few seconds. There was ten, then three got one up. Right? Why is it that we don't see that the ten horns are not permanent? And that the beast has something to do with destroying part of the ten horns? Why do we miss it? It's so clear in Daniel's vision. And it's clear in Revelations if you read it carefully, with Daniel's vision as a background. Now what we are saying here is this. When the Antichrist, who is symbolized by the Assyrian and Babylon, when he rises, he will only rise after the ten horns. Correct? The ten horns must be there first. Then the Antichrist will rise, who will destroy three of the ten. If the Antichrist come at the same time as the ten, there's no destruction. The Antichrist is not head of the ten. The Antichrist destroyed three of the ten. So, make it very clear, the ten horns are separate from the Antichrist. Now the Antichrist comes from among them, rise up from among them. and conquered three, which tells us the chronology of the last days. We may